Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org. Celebrate the historic 100th Greeley Stampede, June 23rd through July 4th, featuring concerts, rodeo, carnival, and more. Tickets available at GreeleyStampede.org.
Just 4 minutes after the 1 o'clock hour, welcome back into the whole show. It's our second hour here, rocking and rolling here on this Wednesday. Joining me now, we got more Nuggets talk coming up because, listen, with the press conference last week, there's still a lot to kind of digest and think about here. Brendan Vogt joining us from DNVR Nuggets, DNVR Sports. Brendan, my man, there's been a lot going. This state is booming. There's always a story going on. Broncos news is up. But of course, the Nuggets with Josh Kroenke speaking to the media last week, and you know, certainly we're wondering what the future looks like for this roster. There's a lot happening with the Nuggets.
Yeah, it's been a much busier offseason than I anticipated already. In some ways, I'm grateful for it, Brady, because it's given us plenty of content. But there's a lot going on, and this is an offseason that you and I have talked about has been labeled the most important in Denver Nuggets history, and it is off to a frenetic start, you could say.
What did you think of Josh Kroenke's, first off, his hair and beard? I mean, he looks like Doctor Strange. It's wonderful. I wish I could pull that off. But what did you make of the press conference ultimately? You know, he covered it all. I mean, altitude, the TV stuff. He talked about Calvin Booth. He talked about Tim Connelly and maybe what went wrong there. What were your kind of immediate thoughts when you sat back and you know, listened to what he had to say?
Well, first of all, I appreciated that he did it. I do wish he would do it a bit more often.
Right.
But I do know that, look, that was their idea. They decided to hold that press conference. He understood there were questions that folks at home had, and he was willing to at least hear them. So I really appreciated that, and I hope we see more of it. I did think it was a somewhat defensive tone from Josh Kroenke, who in his opening statement talked about how he had taken flack for hiring Tim Connelly, and now he's taken flack for letting him go. Before any pointed questions came, I thought he sort of took a defensive posture. But, you know, I think he spoke clearly. I think he made some commitments about the tax and about this being a championship window that are encouraging for Nuggets fans to hear. Ultimately, I think there's a lot of billionaire dodge speak in there, which he's well versed in. They have answers that they've got a playbook they go to, and so it's nice to hear there are potentially plans for a new practice facility, that streaming is a solution that's on the horizon, that they're frustrated about the Comcast situation, but until there are results and changes, it's a little bit more of the same from my perspective.
Brendan Vogt joining us from DNVR Nuggets and DNVR Sports. Brendan, I was knee deep in the whole discussion or the contracts, the controversy between Altitude TV and the networks. I'll admit, I have DirecTV. Once DirecTV hit, I started to kind of back away from it. I'm not as deep into it anymore. What still is the holdup between Comcast and Dish Network? I mean, do we even know anymore? What does that look like?
Yeah, I think from the Kroenke side, it's about precedent here, where they don't necessarily just want to cave on a deal that they feel is not good for them and good for business and would set precedent for future negotiations. And Josh Kroenke did claim in that press conference that if they accepted that deal, they would have to lay some people off. I kind of kick myself for not following up. Would they have to lay people off, or would they be choosing to it? It's hard to imagine that no deal in the meantime is like a particularly profitable decision.
Right.
But that is their explanation for now. And I think what a lot of people feel like is they understand that Comcast has them in a tough spot, but if there had been more transparency in work towards alternative solutions, or maybe just a willingness to eat a short-term deal as they work towards something more tenable, that would all feel more palatable. But the reality is, however tough it is for them in this business sense, that may from their perspective, go over our heads. The two-time MVP hasn't been on TV for a lot of residents, and that's the bottom line. And until that's fixed, they will continue to take heat for that.
Well, and I don't like to necessarily say there's got to be a side in this, but I guess, Brendan, the way I look at it, dude, is like Comcast and Dish Network have, I don't want to say bigger fish to fry. They have a lot of other fish to fry. I feel like Altitude needs them more than they need Altitude. So at the same point, I look at it and say, maybe it's not fair, but life ain't fair. I feel like it should be on the ownership, should be on the team to swallow and make some kind of a deal. And maybe I'm wrong there, but again, I just feel like if I'm Comcast and Dish, I've got a lot of things that I can do to make us money.
I feel the same way. Again, that bottom line, I'm not afraid to shy away from. Like, that is a failure. I do think it is worth acknowledging that this is a nationwide dynamic now in the media landscape. We are going to see more examples of teams running into this situation. What I would challenge people to sort of stay aware of is how long do those situations run? How many potential alternative solutions are proposed? Because I think, again, from the Nuggets fans' perspective, okay, fine, that happened. We get it. It's 3 years now.
Mm-hmm.
So is there a plan B? Is there a plan C? Or is it just sit on your hands? And I think if it's plan C, people are just going to be upset. I mean, fairness is going to come into play a lot here. But again, for me, it just comes down to the bottom line.
I think that's exactly the way to put it. I think there, at some point, you just have to make a decision. You just, maybe it's not fair for you. Maybe you're, and I also look at this, and I don't know the logistic or like the money side of it. How much money would they ultimately be losing? But you got to think advertising dollars. They're killing them right now. Because I've even spoken to some businesses up here that have business in Denver where it's like, yeah, we used to advertise there, but we can't justify the cost anymore because we're only on one outlet as far as instead of three.
Yeah, again, I am not a business reporter, nor am I privy to these negotiations, these numbers. You know, I don't know, but I have the same question that you do, which is how has sort of just not doing it been better? You know, I have a hard time believing this is a considerably more profitable route. Perhaps that's naive on my part, but that's just how I understand it. And so they got to figure something out. And here's the thing. Again, talking about fairness or not, it just broke yesterday that Stan Kroenke spent, what, like $125 million on more real estate in Los Angeles. They're hoping to break ground on a massive new practice facility and a potentially billion-dollar mini-city surrounding it. Something's telling me the family's doing all right. So I think there's money there. I think there's a solution there. And I think, most importantly, when he got up there and he said, I'm just as frustrated as Nuggets fans, if not more, that showed, I think, a certain tone deafness and just how disconnected he is from the actual ripple effects this has had on the fandom.
Yeah, and I always know, you know, when you hear that, and I know not everybody, not everything's under your control, so to speak, which in this case I understand, but when you say, hey, I'm frustrated, more, if not more so than the fan base, it's like the fans are sitting here wanting to watch your product. And
It's a ridiculous thing to say. It just showed a certain disconnect, I think. And I appreciated that he sat up there and he took those hard questions and he didn't melt down and he didn't turn it back on us, but I thought that particular answer showed just how far away from the reality maybe he is on this particular issue.
Yeah, I think you're right, 100%. And again, what you just said earlier, the two-time MVP. You have a team that's probably going to win the Stanley Cup. Either way, they're going to the Stanley Cup Finals. And I feel bad for, and dude, I've said this on my show and people get mad at me, but at the end of the day, I'm like, I don't expect anything to change. So maybe you should try to consider switching over to DirecTV, and people get mad and say, Brady, you don't realize all the stuff we got to go through. And that's the only solution I can think of because I don't see it changing anytime soon.
Same. Yeah. As of right now, is there any, again, appreciate him taking those questions, but did any of those answers make you feel like changes on the horizon?
Right.
Of course not. Of course not. I'm going to do a shameless plug. We've got to deal with Avoca TV, which I hope people will check out. It does include Altitude and other networks, so you can watch your favorite Colorado teams for a price that, you know, you might find more palatable or easy than switching over right now. But I'm with you. Like, at the end of the day, it's turned into us explaining to people how they can still watch this team if they inconvenience themselves. And I think a billionaire ownership conglomerate should take it upon themselves to force feed this team down our throats. And as of right now, it's something that people have to go in search of. And that's, to me, that's, again, a failure.
Yeah, no question about it. I was before the DirecTV deal got done, I was doing the same thing, trying to figure it out. But we're talking to Brendan Vogt of DNVR Nuggets, DNVR Sports. How about the on the X's and O's side? You know, this one will win you a lot of a lot of points there. Just mentioned, hey, we got a big contract, we got to go get signed in Serbia. That'll shut us up quickly, because at the end of the day, we want to see Nikola Jokic sign with this team, be here for the long term. It's the surrounding parts that we're continuing to ask about, what this team can do to make sure they're really building around Joker and this would be maybe championship window.
Yeah, and there are assurances they've gotten from Malone, from Jokic, from Murray. Everything is full steam ahead, right? The goal hasn't changed, and Jokic is going to sign that contract. So this is not a bomb drop, right? The developments of the last month, but it's more about the ripple effects and an opportunity that was missed to instill confidence in a fan base that, okay, this is more than just we're on the Jokic ride for however long he's here. We all hoped as the Nuggets sort of entered this stratosphere, ownership would turn their attention towards what they deny is a red-haired stepchild of the KSC family, but in truth has been. And so I think fans are hoping to see, like, the commitment to the tax is great, but they got to go there and then stay there. It's great that there are plans to build a practice facility, but he said the same thing in 2017. Like, when is this going to get built? You know, there's a taking advantage of the lightning in a bottle that they caught by drafting Jokic that I don't think this organization has done yet. And that, I think, is the cause for worry for a lot of Nuggets fans. Back to the bright side, though, Jokic isn't going anywhere.
Well, and that's the thing. At the end of the day, we know that. He said as much. He's that kind of guy. And I think he probably would have been, who knows, but probably would have been loyal to whoever drafted him, depending on how everything works out. But at the end of the day, I looked at it this way, Brendan. When teams get a Nikola Jokic, a LeBron James, Damian Lillard, look what people think of Portland right now. Everybody talks about Portland nationally and says, dude, they're doing wrong by Damian Lillard. They're never going to win a championship. They didn't, whatever. I do feel like there's these teams that when you get a guy like that, like a Joker, like these superstars, it's almost a responsibility, not just to that player, not just to your fan base, but to the league. You have to do right by this superstar. Otherwise, it's a letdown well beyond just Denver.
It's a good point. And there's a new wave of ultra-talented players in this league now who are in a good position to take this leap forward, maybe in a position of parity that can be appreciated in a way it hasn't been in the past of the NBA. And one of those players is in Denver. And that statement alone we've grown used to now, but it really should be a pinch-yourself thing. And you just hope that this organization is poised to do everything they can to take advantage of that. And look, we'll see. I'm sitting here criticizing ownership. They may follow through on all of these promises. And
sure.
If they do, I will hand them a hearty round of applause. But for now, I think people want to see results more than they want to see statements.
Yeah, I'm with you 100%. And especially as we talked about, we outlined the altitude stuff. There's reason to be frustrated and perhaps, you know, not put a lot of trust into this organization right now. And again, it's not like it's a bad organization, but there's things that you want to see when you have, as you phrased it, lightning in a bottle with the Joker. Brendan, last one for you. Just looking at the roster on this side of it, do you foresee really, other than the draft, I mean, do you see any major changes coming? Like, is a Will Barton moved? Do you see bringing in another wing guy, like a big wing guy? I'm talking like a bigger name. Do you see many big changes coming in?
I don't know about big in terms of the acquisition being a name that, you know, is going to, like, the kids are going to be, oh, that guy's coming over here. But I do think there could be, I do think they will look at moving the movable assets, which, you know, are Barton or Monte. That's not to say either one of them will be moved, but just as we have this conversation, they make sense. Maybe they do want to add, like you said, that wing, that perimeter defender. The only thing I'd say is it may not happen in this offseason, right? It could come closer to the deadline, as these things often do. But I do think Calvin Booth will explore ways to upgrade the defense, find a way to add a wing defender, because everyone and their grandmother can recognize that's a need for this team.
Talking to Brendan Vogt of DNVR Nuggets. I lie. Oh, did I lose Brendan? Did we lose Brendan there? We still got him? Brendan, are you still there? Nope, we lost him. You know what? We were wrapping up. I was just going to ask him about Roddy, but we covered that earlier. So, Brendan Vogt of DNVR Nuggets, excellent work by him. I'm a big fan of a lot of these DNVR guys. They do great work. Zach's one of them. Brendan's one of them. Excellent job. We'll see if we can catch up with him at some other time in the near future. 18 minutes after the hour, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. Method Flow Products poll question of the day: should the Nuggets take David Roddy with that number 21 pick? Should they? Go vote at thewholeshow.com. We're live from the Allo Communications studios. It's Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA for Preps Baseball.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
Fun Wednesday, man. Great, great discussions about the Broncos, Rob Walton. The Rob Walton Group has purchased the Denver Broncos for like $4.65 billion. Not a big deal. He's worth like 80. That's nothing. Oh, my goodness. Maybe changes are coming for this Broncos organization, and I think they're all good changes. I mean, some people freak out and you wonder about ownership. Oh, would they eventually move? They're not going to move. This is a premier football market. You know, if a new ownership's coming in to buy the Nuggets, I mean, you want to worry about anybody ever moving. It would be the Nuggets, because the Cronkies have moved football teams around before, so I wouldn't put it past them to do it again. But that's not happening. I don't think any of your personnel right now, your George Paytons, your Nathaniel Hackett, like all that stuff, I think that's going to ride it out. It's going to be, they would be silly to make, because you have all these right hires that everyone's really optimistic about. You're optimistic about George Payton. You're optimistic about Nathaniel Hackett and Russell Wilson. So you're going to let it ride. Now, obviously, if it's a train wreck next season, you're going to have conversations. But just don't think that's going to be the case. Holyoke, I like this text because our question's about David Roddy. Would you take him with 21? Roddy's projected in the 30s. That's where he's kind of sitting. You know, maybe he could get top 30 and go in that first round, but it's probably like 33 or 34. And that's 10, probably more than 10 spots away from where the Nuggets are. Holyoke says Roddy could replace a Zeke or a Chanchar tomorrow. Zeke was evolving nicely as far as taking it to the rack, but I'd argue Roddy gives you another dimension. Well, that's the thing. You look at their roster, take the starters aside, and other than, okay, Bones Highland, you really like him. I'm just looking at the, you know, Monte, probably you keep him or he's trade, as Brendan had mentioned. Roddy could be a guy that could get some minutes. I pride myself on knowing a lot, Jay. It's a lot. But I do have a hard time seeing guys transition. I think David Roddy's an NBA talent. I know it. David Roddy's an NBA talent. What does that mean as far as next year and the year after that? How many minutes does that translate to? I didn't think Bones Highland was going to end up getting as many minutes as he did. Sometimes guys get, Zeke I thought was going to get more last year. And that's just kind of the way it goes sometimes. Could Roddy make sense? Like Holyoke's saying he makes sense right now. Like, he makes sense to get minutes right now. And Zeke, how many minutes did he get a game? Not very many, but could you get a guy like Roddy and say, boom, you can probably get to the point where you're playing 5 minutes a game. And if there's a blowout, we really get a chance to look at you. I think the personability is a big deal, too. The likability. Don't underestimate David Roddy's ability to schmooze. And he's not even schmoozing. He's not a sales guy. That's just who he is. I mean, Michael Malone's a good dude. He's a guy that I know he appreciates good character guys. And that David, you're not going to find many better than that. But is it too, is it just too high or too high of a pick at 21? Is it too much of a reach for Denver? I mean, Sean Keeler was on with us talking about his article from the Post about Roddy being that mean guy that the Nuggets might need. If you reach for him at 21, I guess this is the way I look at it. The Nuggets over the years, their drafts haven't needed to, they haven't necessarily needed to have an amazing draft. They have kind of just taken guys that, strangely enough, worked out. Now, Bones Highland, they took at 26. I would argue that Bones played better than a 26. He probably played more like a top 20 inside the high teens. Zeke Nagy, we're waiting, like we said, to see what happens there. Michael Porter Jr. was a risk. The 13 teams ahead of them passed on Porter because of his injury. Well, that risk is looking scary right now because of his injury again. Jamal Murray, they took at 7. That wasn't a reach. That was a good pick for them. I guess my point is they haven't needed the draft to bolster them. Teams don't necessarily need the draft when they have their stars. Now, Golden State, obviously, is the exception to that. They have their stars, and then they just went ahead and got Jordan Poole, and now he's working out. But that was a project. Didn't know if he was going to make it. I know I sound like a homer here, but I said from the beginning of this season that Roddy's an NBA talent. He will be drafted first or second round. Is it a reach at 21 to take Roddy? Yes, it's a reach. It would be a reach. But because of your lack of need for a draft, anybody that the Nuggets draft at 21 is not coming in next year making that big of a difference, unless we get surprised, toward their championship aspirations. So anybody they take at 21 is not coming in and doing what Bones Highland did. Even though Bones was 26 and he ended up being a pretty big piece to their puzzle, I don't see anybody in this draft as coming in at 21 moving the needle for them as far as next season. I just don't see it. I see him being more like a Zeke Nagy, guy that comes in, plays a little bit his rookie year, but not really moving the needle one way or the other. Typically when you're drafting outside of 15, that's typically how it goes. You don't have guys that come in and make an immediate impact. So because of that, I think Denver obviously needs to get richer in the free agency side or trade side of things. They need to figure that out. That's where their urgency comes from, if there is urgency. Now, on one camp, you say there might not be urgency because you have Jamal Murray and Michael Porter Jr. You're just waiting to see what the health looks like. And if those guys are healthy, there's no urgency at all, and you're fine. You like your roster. I just think if number 21's a wild card, and you don't know exactly if that's going to pay off, then why not take a flyer on a guy like David Roddy? Local guy, likable guy, versatile guy, tough guy, and who I do think is coachable. He could change the way he plays a little bit more. Dixon says the pick really depends on what you expect from when or if Murray and MPJ come back. If they're 100% and back to normal, a guy like Roddy's fine. If not, this team needs more offense and someone who can knock down the three. They lose the three battle very often, not a good wing defender, too. Well, here's the thing, Dixon. They're counting on them. Denver is, for better or worse, they are counting on Murray and Porter to come back healthy. They're counting on them to eventually be 100% within the first part of the half, first part of the year. That's what I've been led to believe. If you believe differently, then you're wasting your time. That means you have bigger problems than just finding a wing guy or a wing defender. That means you have two of your biggest pieces in MPJ and Jamal that you don't believe are ever going to come back to that status you need them to be. Dixon says an upgrade to Boogie at backup center would be nice. Well, and Roddy would be a 3 or 4. That's where he would play. Now, if they go small, he could play 5. But he's not a center. And he's not going to ever, you're never going to want him going up against 5s. He can do it. He can do it in college, but you saw what happened with the Michigan dude. What was the Michigan dude's name? That was a tough matchup for David. My only knock, and I know, I love David. But I got to be real here. My knock on David is he's not, we call him a unicorn. I don't even like calling him a unicorn. Nikola Jokic is a unicorn. Giannis Antetokounmpo is a unicorn. Patrick Mahomes is a unicorn. Unicorn is like, I'm a unicorn snob, just like I'm a Hall of Fame snob. Unicorn is like, you're so damn good, you're so rare. It's a mix. I don't just want rare, I want good, great, greatness. Roddy was a great college basketball player. One of the greatest to come out of the Mountain West and Colorado State. What is he great at? You look at Nikola Jokic. What is Nikola Jokic great at? What is he great? What is his? Well, passing probably is one of his greats. Inside shot, free throw line extended. He's got an excellent shot. But you say court vision. He's special when it comes to court vision. That can be a mix between shooting and passing. Steph Curry. What area is he special? 3-point shooting. He's good at a lot of stuff, but 3-point shooting. Draymond Green, defense. Great at a lot of stuff, but there you go. See what I mean? So like with David, he's not a great 3-point shooter. He's not a overall great defender, and I'm transitioning his game to the NBA. Not a great ball handler. He's good at everything. And that can work. That can work in the league. So that's the knock. Can he get to the point where he has a specialty, where he's great? And again, you don't have to be that guy that has a specialty. Jamal Murray didn't have a specialty. He was an overall good player. Michael Porter Jr. has a specialty, shooting. That's what we want to see more from him, though, right? He said, Chris Brady, I think the issue is what will MPJ and Murray will do? Yeah, true. But again, the Nuggets are counting on those two guys to come back healthy. Otherwise, they're getting aggressive and doing something else. Because this is it, dude. This is the window. We don't want to do this thing. And in 5-6 years, we turn around and go, that's what you got. I mean, you got to get one. I seriously think you got to get one. You got to get one title. Otherwise, it would be considered a failure. Dallas had one of the greats in Dirk Nowitzki. They got one title out of the whole thing. That's still at least you got one. But you have a two-time MVP. Very, very, very rare to see what we're seeing with the Joker. You have to add a championship, finally, to your resume. To your franchise, to your accolades. And so if Murray and Porter, if you have any doubts, like texters are lighting it up saying it all depends on MPJ, it all depends on Murray. If you have any doubts, then you need to be doing something else. Brady, you can't trade those guys away. Can't you? Murray will come back. MPJ will bounce back. That's what they believe. They have to believe it now. There's no other choice. It's as Elway said, we're not going with plan B. We're going with plan A. This is plan A. Plan A is that those two guys are healthy enough to start the season and can get back to good enough by midseason. They're playing up to where they're supposed to play. If that doesn't work, then you've wasted a lot of time and a lot of money. The good news is as we've talked about, Joker's not going anywhere. He's going to be here. But the pressure is on for several reasons around the Cronkies. To build around the Joker, to give him the top facilities, to make that place a free agent beacon, to allow the damn fans to watch your games. What did he call it? Ivaka, Jades? What did Brendan call it? Ivaka? Where you could watch Nuggets and Avs games? There you go. I have DirecTV. So that's where I just say to people, I'm like, I'm sorry. You got to get out of your contract then and go with DirecTV. That's what I say. People get mad. Brady, it's not that easy. I don't know what else you want me to tell you. That's the only other option. Or you could pirate it. Find it illegally. There you go. But people get mad at me, Jades. I'll tell them, switch to DirecTV. Well, it's just not that easy. Then what are you doing here, bro? Because there's no other way. or buy tickets and go to every game. That's it. But the pressure's on Denver, man, because the expectations are now great. Two-time MVP raises the expectations. That's what I'm saying is you're banking on Jamal and Porter coming back at essentially 100%. If there's doubt in your mind, we need to be scrambling to do something else. So that all being said, the draft will not make or break you this year. Take a risk. Take David Roddy. Take a local guy and cross-connect with CSU. Be great for both. We talk about growing basketball in the state. A Nuggets-Roddy connection. That would be sweet. 38 minutes after the hour. Also, selfishly, a David Roddy radio show. That'd be sweet. Let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
The Method Flow Products poll question of the day is available at thewholeshow.com. Should the Nuggets take David Roddy with pick number 21? Saw him out there. Yes, well, I wasn't there. I should have went, Jades. I just thought about that. I was like, why was I not there? I should have made my, I guess I didn't follow up to see when David's workout was with the Nuggets. 62% saying yes. They say yes. They should. Go for it. Let's go. I'm in. Let's make it happen, Cap'n. 37% say no. Go to thewholeshow.com and vote. Jades, we got to get to today in the NFL. I've changed the name of that several times. Today in the NFL or inside the NFL. What's better? Today in the NFL. Sounds NFL-ier. Cleveland just fascinates me, man. Why would you... Again, I didn't like the move at the time. Why would you go get Deshaun Watson? I'm not trying to be the whole guilty till proven innocent, innocent until proven guilty guy, whatever. But you have all these crazy accusations and pending lawsuits up against Deshaun Watson. Why would you, unless you got some really deep intel that said, no, he didn't do any of that stuff. Why would you take that risk and go for a guy like Deshaun Watson, knowing there might be, it could be potentially pretty bad? Jades, can you look that up for me? What was the trade? How much did Cleveland actually give up for Deshaun? I know it was three first rounders, right? But the other thing is, now you've pissed off your other starting quarterback, the guy that you drafted early in the draft, first round pick. I mean, that is when, that's, I mean, again, so many different issues here. Why would you do this? And now you look at the story really is the fact that now Cleveland and Baker have come to terms of him not basically going to show up for their mini camp, for their mandatory mini camps that begin next week. Your number one draft pick in 2018, you are already done with. And I'm not saying Baker was a savior and great. He was serviceable. It's now you've set your organization back. What was the draft? What was the trade, Jades?
2022, 23, and 24 first rounders.
So three first rounders.
A 23 third rounder. 2024 fourth rounder and a 2024 fifth rounder.
Oh my! And you've pissed off your quarterback, your other quarterback. Why would you do this? I mean, if I'm a Cleveland fan, I'm sick. For several reasons. But now it looks like we're on our way out with the Baker thing. Cleveland's probably going to try to do damage control. Like, we want you back. Look at all the draft picks you've given up. You are in trouble. The team said Wednesday that it was a mutual decision and best for both parties that they excuse Baker Mayfield from attending the team's mandatory minicamp next week. He's been away from the Browns since Cleveland replaced him with Deshaun Watson as their starter in March. Mayfield has been in his hometown of Austin, Texas, rehabilitating from off-season surgery that repaired a torn labrum in his left non-throwing shoulder. They were maybe they were trying to trade him, but so far no big bites as far as that go. Crazy, man. He's due to make almost $19 million, which is going to make teams shy away from that. Guaranteed money for the 2022 season. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. It's wild, man. I'm not sure why. You know, I didn't want the Broncos to do it. When we talked about the potential of Deshaun Watson coming to Denver, I thought, no, not while this is in the air. This has to be clear and done before you're going to mortgage your future. I was uneasy about mortgaging your future for Aaron Rodgers. Again, that was because of the age thing. Deshaun, not the age thing, certainly a young quarterback, the talent's there, but all of this, it's now reported, according to ESPN, that he visited 66 different masseurs? I don't know. And again, that's not saying that all 66 have come forward and said something bad happened, but 23 of them did at this point. Bad deal. 47 minutes after the hour. Before we take a break, want to shout out to one of our excellent sponsors. That's Cable's Pub and Grill. Man, right around this time, I start to get hungry too, because our show's right over the lunch break. Cables does it right, man. They have been doing it right for a very, very long time, since 1972. Today, they've got specials. This is right up my alley. $3 pints and $7.99 personal pizzas. $7.99 personal pizzas up to three toppings. I love their pizza. Unbelievable. At Cables Pub and Grill, check out their website, cablespubandgrill.com. 48 minutes after the hour. Short break coming up. We'll wrap up the show in just a moment. You're listening to The Whole Show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Allo Communications Studios on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 at 1310 KFKA.
It's baseball season, and the Colorado Rockies can be heard on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hi, I'm Kevin Lytle of the Fort Collins, Colorado, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
We're just about to wrap up today's edition of The Whole Show. We'll be back at it on a Thursday just until 1:45. We're going to see if the Rockies win the series against San Francisco? Oh my goodness, they won last night, Jades. Everybody's going crazy. Well, keep in mind, they've won one series in a month. So I don't know that our good morning NoCo boys should be firing up that little Rockies bus just yet. I mean, it's still a crazy schedule up in front of this team. But they did get the win, and Charlie Blackmon got his 200th home run, and they found a way to get the job done. Marquez settled down after giving up three early runs. For the rest of the game, he was damn near perfect, and he went six innings. That's the recipe. That's what you need. But my confidence level in the starting pitching being able to go five or six and the bullpen being able to survive beyond much more is not good at this stage. Orthopedic and Spine Center of the Rockies, for over 51 years now, they've been the specialist in the medicine of motion. They have six medical campuses, and they provide care along the Front Range. OCR is proud to be Greeley's hometown orthopedic as well. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Method Flow Products poll question of the day is available at thewholeshow.com. Should the Nuggets take David Roddy with pick number 21. Is it just too high? And it probably is. It's probably a reach by 10 picks at least. But I guess, again, at the end of the day, I look at it with Denver and say, you don't need this year's draft pick to make that big of an impact next year. If he does, it's a bonus. So why not go with a guy like David Roddy, who seems to have a lot of upside? His stock is continuing to go up. The guys in the know know a thing or two. Broncos get it done. Broncos enter into purchase agreement with the Walton Penner family for a record $4.65 billion. Not much for Rob Walton. They are ready to take this thing over, and maybe we're going to see some excitement, I think, man. Talk about a new stadium. Zach said, talk about a new city. Like, there might be this little village surrounding the stadium around DIA. It's going to be Bronco, as John Elway called it, not Broncos country, Broncos land. We might actually have Broncos land. Elway knew it all along, man. So that'll be interesting to see how that one breaks down. Tonight, Jades, tonight. Golden State, Boston. Golden State is 3.5-point dogs tonight. First game on the road in the NBA Finals for the Warriors. I love the 3.5. I think Golden State wins outright, but I'm taking the 3.5. You do what you will, but Golden State's going to be celebrating a victory tonight. Good night, Northern Colorado.